Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Along with Tim Reedy, and we are talking with Bishop Robert McElroy about his participation in an event through the University of Notre Dame's Kroc Institute for International Peace and Studies called Nuclear Proliferation, Deterrence, and Disarmament, Evolving Catholic Approaches. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. So, Bishop McElroy, before the break, we mentioned that President Obama is going to visit Hiroshima this Friday. He's not the first world leader to visit. Back in, 1980s.
Pope John Paul II
went there and made a strong appeal for peace, saying to remember Hiroshima is to abhor nuclear war. And it seems like that's a common sense thing to say at such a place of such tragedy. And yet, President Obama's visit is it's bringing out some criticism that it's an implicit apology for what happened during World War II. So what would you say is behind this? It seems instinctive defensiveness among some people in the United States about, grappling with past actions of the United States abroad.
Well, what we have to take ownership of is the fact that we've been the only nation to use nuclear weapons, and that it had a horrendous human cost, not only in the lives of those who were killed immediately, but in the terrible effects upon all those who suffered from the blast and lived. And but I do think the way that we can honor that and is to be aggressive in our efforts to build a nuclear-free world in which there is safety and stability for the United States and, in fact, the whole of the nations of the world. But it is not built on the threat of nuclear war, which is itself dehumanizing and destabilizing.
Now, just to correct that date, it was Wednesday, February 25th, 1981, when Pope John Paul II made his visit to Hiroshima. And he said there, to remember Hiroshima is to abhor nuclear war. To remember Hiroshima is to commit oneself to peace. Now, Bishop McElroy, the U.S. bishops are also known for their statement, "The Challenge of Peace," written just a couple of years later, about and addressed many of these questions. You mentioned that the U.S. bishops are also involved in this event in London. How have they continued that witness over the last, 30 years or so?
Well, it's been clear in Catholic teaching that any use of nuclear weapons is morally wrong. And the popes have said that. The letter on war and peace from the Catholic Bishops' Conference pressed very strongly for a rejection of any first use of nuclear weapons, which was very controversial at the time. And there was a great deal of opposition to the bishops on this question. But it's simply a fundamental part of Catholic moral teaching that any use of nuclear weapons would be immoral. The deeper question is, does a policy of deterrence, which we engage in now by having these vast arsenals in which we threaten the Russians or other potential opponents, and they threaten us, is that immoral per se? Pope Francis comes very close to saying that. He doesn't categorically say it in his recent statement at, in Vienna, but he comes very close to saying that. And so as a result, I think there is a moral imperative on us, and the Pope Francis has been very clear to us, as have many of his predecessors, that we need to move aggressively to remove these arsenals, just as we have done with biochemical weapons also.
Now, we spoke before about some of the challenges of bringing younger, perhaps, people into this movement. But as we reported an article we had by Kevin Clark last year, No More Nukes, May of 2015. There are actually more and more young people involved in this movement. We mentioned the Abolish Nuclear Weapons, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, which is led by a young woman named Beatrice Finn. So it seems like this issue is being taken up, and perhaps it's those connections with environmental issues you were speaking of that makes it a compelling issue for the younger people.
I think it does, and we talked at some length about that today at this conference. Is there a linkage there with Laudato Si and the environment issues, particularly that we can build momentum for both sets of issues among those who are, say, 20 to 40? That really is a major goal we have. And thus, to bring the issue to our respective governments, bringing it through the eyes and the ears and the voices of large numbers of people who see for their generation what's being passed on is a world gravely at risk on the environmental front and on the nuclear front.
And I would add to that, there's not only a linkage with ecological concerns, but economic inequality. In Pope Francis's speech to the Vienna conference in 2014, he said, spending on nuclear weapons squanders the wealth of nations. So even if they are never used, they take billions of dollars to modernize and upkeep and keep safe. So even if they're just sitting there, they come at a cost.
Yes, the United States is intending to modernize its nuclear arsenals and over the next 30 years to spend $1 trillion on this. And these are on weapons which we believe and hope and pray we will never use because we need to have nuclear blackmail against other countries in the same way they have them against us. It's a terrible logic, and it's tremendously destabilizing toward real peace in the world.
Now, if the goal here, Bishop McElroy, is to get to zero, you know, try to eliminate this policy of deterrence so that, you know, both sides get to a point where we live in a nuclear-free world, how does the church kind of continue to exercise its moral authority to get there? Is an issue that should be perhaps brought up, you know, in the Paris setting more?
I do think there has to be widespread education on this whole set of issues. Now, I think there is some latitude, and as we get closer to zero, how do we do that without then becoming destabilizing in the world as a whole? And there are some questions about whether defensive capabilities in that at that point would make it really a situation in which there could be peace and stability and no nuclear weapons existing. The technology will never go away because that knowledge exists. So how do we build a world in which there is peace and stability, and we can be sure that actors which might seek to build nuclear weapons in such a universe could be detected, first of all, and then could be deterred from doing that. So as we get closer and closer to that, that's going to be a harder reality to deal with. And frankly, technology is very much on our side on that one, which is very hopeful.
Yeah, it seems like we got a taste of just how hard that will be with the negotiations with Iran. That wasn't even getting rid of nuclear weapons. That was trying to prevent another country from getting it. And
I'll tell you one of the interesting things at this conference. We had South Africa with us, the church in South Africa, and the bishops' conference in South Africa. They are an example of a country which renounced nuclear weapons. They were a nuclear state, and they gave them up. And they did so freely because they wanted to be part of a non-nuclear world. And they have spoken powerfully and effectively with other countries in Africa and advocated against other countries looking to a nuclear option. It's very tempting for certain countries to want to become nuclear. South Africa was a powerful witness in our conference today as to how a regime like this, where there are no nuclear weapons, can exist, and how it's a morally superior universe if we can make it to that.
Perhaps, Bishop McElroy, now, you know, ending this conference, what are the next steps that the movement is looking to, both in Europe and the United States? You know, are there meetings at the UN? What can we look to down the road?
Well, there were really three different sets of priorities that came out of this. One came out of from the bishops' conferences, and that was among the bishops who were present, an effort to coordinate our policy advocacy and our catechesis and education efforts among the various bishops' conferences that were there. So we move together, we make the same points together, we share what the effectiveness of various methods. Then there was a set of policymakers, government policymakers and NGO policymakers, who formed an agenda on how to, within the policy arena, move to effectively make the case that we can move toward much more fully and quickly toward a world in which nuclear weapons are not a reality anymore. And finally, there was a group of academics who are going to look at a whole series of important research questions that will clarify how do we make this kind of a world realistic and achievable politically and militarily.
You mentioned before that the knowledge is always going to be out there, even if we get to global zero. So I think we often talk about, instead of laws, global norms when it comes to weapons like this, norms against biological weapons. How do you think the church has a specific role there in building up that normative framework for a nuclear-free world?
Absolutely. I'm glad you raised that point, because it's in danger now, and I'll tell you why. What has been very important is that, and this is an important symbolic element of the president going to Hiroshima also, is that since that usage, there has never been a nuclear bomb utilized against people. And that's an important reality because, in effect, nuclear weapons have become taboo, have become forbidden because of norms in the international order. What's happening now is certain countries are now breaking down that norm by, in their modernization of weapons, coming up with weapons that have more tactical uses of nuclear capabilities. That eviscerates the distinction between nuclear and non-nuclear, and really is a temptation to begin to use nuclear weapons for much more limited aims. Once you cross that boundary, it's a terrible reality, because that boundary has to be clear and hard and fast. It is clear and hard and fast in terms of Catholic teaching on the use of nuclear weapons. It just is unacceptable. It's morally unacceptable. But our weapons technologies, and particularly the policies of certain countries as they modernize, is going to begin to break down these distinctions, and that's extremely dangerous.
Now, finally, Bishop McElroy, you spoke earlier about the need to educate the larger Catholic community about this. How would you start there? I mean, the Challenge of Peace is a great document, but as we said, it's over 30 years old. What other resources are out there that you would direct people to?
Well, that's one of the things we want to work on with the European conferences, is to come up with some statement and points and catechetical program where we can make it in common, all right, in that most of the countries we were meeting with today are NATO countries, you know, and it's within NATO that the framework of nuclear weapons, and particularly the defense vis-a-vis the Soviet Union, takes place. And so there are a lot of common efforts we can make together, and we are committed to undertaking steps to try to coordinate those efforts and to see what is effective, what works with particular groups, what is a helpful way of bringing catechesis and the Pope's message. Now, to that, of course, the Pope is going to be a key, because he can unlock hearts and souls, not to convince them necessarily of the content of the message, but he can get them through his use of symbol and gesture and word and message. He can get people in huge numbers. And it's interesting, he can get policymakers who are not Catholic in large numbers to at least open their hearts to looking at the question anew. And that's when we have to organize to take it from there.
Well, again, we've been talking with Bishop Robert McElroy of San Diego. If you want to read more of his writings for America, you can look online. His latest article is The Greatness of a Nation, which talks about our national politics, and you can look forward to that. Bishop McElroy, we want to thank you again for taking some time to talk to us from London.
Not at all. Thank you very much.
When we'll be back, we'll be talking with Sister Margaret Mace, who does work at the United Nations related to environmental sustainability, and we'll talk about her work and the anniversary of Laudato Si. We'll be right back.
thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.